Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
We're talking about the power of your life. As I mentioned last week, so often I am charged with talking to you about things that you don't yet have in your life, things that you're reaching for, working toward. This series of messages is all about the things that you already possess. That's what makes us powerful people. How many realize we're powerful? We were made in the image and likeness of God. There's power in us. There is ability in us. There are things in us that enable us to do incredible things. And let me say something to you. Even without us recognizing God, because of the way that He made us, there are capabilities within us, within mankind, to do incredible things. The proof of that is, of course, those that don't know God that are doing incredible things. So just imagine you take an individual who has power given to them by God. Imagine that person then anointed by God of what kind of power is released in that individual. I think we're living way, way below our capabilities. Oh, if you have these powers within you, and if you would let God be God over those powers that He placed in you, just imagine what you can accomplish. Last week, we talked about the power of choice. I don't know that we'll get bigger than that. The power of choice that we have is truly, you can call it free will if you want to, or the power of choice. But the power to choose what we're doing is perhaps one of the most powerful things in all the world. How many are glad this week that you got to choose? Yeah. You got to choose what you wanted to eat. You got to choose what clothes, you ladies, come on. You went to the closet and you looked there, probably griped, probably wished that there were more choices, but then you got to choose. Do I want to wear that? That's really comfortable. No, I think I'll wear this. I really look good in this. Huh? A choice between really comfortable or I look good in it. I know, we all go through it. But we get the choice. God didn't make us to be a bunch of puppets. Our subject this week, as you can see up there, and you can take that off now, is the power of innocence. I don't really understand. Let me gripe for a minute. Is that okay? I'm going to do it anyway. I don't understand why we don't talk more about this. I cannot, for the life of me, I don't understand why we are not talking more about our innocence. We should be teaching our kids that they have this power in their lives from the moment that they can understand anything at all. You know, last night, we made a connection with the West Coast and saw one of my twin granddaughters. And as soon as she saw Sharon's face, she began to pucker up. Oh, I could say so much here. And then I get myself in all kinds of trouble. It's just horrible. No, you know what she was concerned about? Her twin sister was not there. She was sleeping. And she was upset that Nana was calling and that her twin sister was not going to get to see her. Innocence is cool. We don't, because we have adapted and adopted the world's way of thinking, we don't see it as being cool. Let's begin. In Genesis chapter 2, there's one verse that I want you to see. Verse number 25, we've looked at it before. It's a familiar passage to probably everybody in the room. It says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. How is that possible? They were naked, and they felt no shame. Before God, before one another, they felt no shame. It was because of their innocence. Their minds were pure. They were not filled with all kinds of garbage. It wasn't filled with what is good, what is evil. Their minds were pure. Their minds were at ease. All they knew was the provisions of God that were all around them, and they could enjoy it. I want you to turn over with me to a New Testament passage in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. Jesus talking to his disciples, he's getting ready to dispatch them. He said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. What does he mean? Be aware of what's going on around you, but be innocent in that you don't have to participate in everything that's happening around you. There is something incredibly powerful about innocence in our lives. Most sin, sickness, and sorrow comes from a choice that we have made. Now think on that a minute. Most sin, sickness, and sorrow comes from a choice that we have made, sometimes against the counsel of others who care about us. Now, you know, one of the most horrifying things to me as a man and as a pastor is the fact that many adults today are breaking the innocence of their children. They are exposing them to things many times that they're not ready to see or hear or taste. They're breaking their innocence. Or they are encouraging their kids to break the innocence. Fathers that are introducing their sons to pornography. Well, they're going to see it out there anyway. I want to be with them when they see it. Parents that are teaching their children how to gamble. I'm not making judgment on these things in this moment. What I'm saying is that the innocence of these children is being broken by the parents. How horrifying is that? Mothers who are trying to relive their youth out of their daughters, and so they are dressing them in a provocative manner and sending them out to go find themselves a boyfriend at a very young age. I was listening to a doctor by the name of Corey Keller, who is the chief medical officer at Johns Hopkins University Medical Center emergency room. And he has taken up the cause of synthetic drugs and the horror that is involved in them. And he said, what everyone needs to realize is that the prime age of exposure to these synthetic drugs, this is synthetic marijuana, and then go on, the list goes on. There's synthetic cocaine, there's synthetic heroin, and all of these drugs are more powerful than the original. the age of exposure, 12 to 17. 12 years old to 17 years old, children are getting their first taste of many of these drugs. And in his words, he said, what they don't realize is that these particular synthetic drugs have such potency, the chemists that are making them up are working overtime to make them more addictive. So with many of them, in taking it one time, that would be to just experiment and see what it's like to take it one time, and they are hooked and cannot get free. And then they are ending up in the emergency rooms, according to Dr. Geller. They are ending up in the emergency rooms, not breathing, hearts almost completely stopped. He said some beating 6 and 7 beats per minute. And then the doctors in the emergency room trying to figure out what the combination was of the ingredients of this synthetic drug in order to be able to treat them and bring them back to life. The commentator tried to pin them down as to how many of them die and how many live. And the doctor said he had no statistics, but he said way too many of them are dying simply because they can't get the chemistry right in bringing them back. What we're talking about this morning is innocence. Our kids don't have to do drugs. Wow. You know, folks, when I say something that you agree with, there's nothing wrong with saying amen, or that's right, or at least nodding your head or blinking. I said, our kids do not have to do drugs. I'm 63 years old in a couple of months. I've never had to do drugs. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back, because if we wanted to take a long time here today, I could list for you my sins. What I am saying to you this morning is that you don't have to do these things. And the cost is so high for the experimenting. It is so high that many of these lives, not only are some ended, but many are not turned around. And so one instance, one pill, one choice, and life is changed forever. You say, you know, how can we stop them? I believe the only way that we can stop this is that you begin to preach what I'm trying to preach to you today, that the power of innocence is a valuable tool. It's a valuable power in your life and in mine. Let me give you some definitions. First of all, I'm talking about the power of innocence. Power, what is it? It is possession of control or authority over influences. Once again, it is possession of control, authority over influences. The very power of choice that we have, every single one of us have, says nobody has power over me but me. That one didn't get anything either. I said, nobody has power over me but me. Unless I choose to give them that power. You can't take my joy. You can't take my peace. You can't take my choice, unless I give it to you. Not even the devil. The devil did not make Eve eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He tempted her to eat. And Eve made a choice. And she gave some to her husband, and her husband had a choice. Never, never, never forget that. Because you see, that choice and that choice to break our innocence is in our control. Young people, you're powerful. You're awesomely powerful. And if you choose, you can stand against any group of individuals or any single individual and say no. Back several years ago, that was the mantra, if you will, to those who were trying to get young people to not invest themselves in drugs. Just say no. Oh, you don't know how hard it is. Yes, we do know how hard it is. But the power to say no is in you. You say, but no, there's no buts to it. It's in you and it's on you. The choices that we make to break our innocence for whatever foolish reason. You don't become an alcoholic if you never touch alcohol. Now, everybody's going to go, Pastor made a list of sins. No, Pastor's trying to illustrate something to you so that you can understand. We're not saying what is right, what is wrong, but choice. And the choice to break your innocence. There's an innocence in marriage. We can make a choice that says, I'm going to stay faithful to my mate. Though I may be tempted, I'm not going to yield to it. When everybody else in the office and everybody else in the factory and everybody else is going, oh, you know, I've done that. It's, you know, it's kind of fun to do that, you know, and helps you get along with life, blah, 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 blah. He said, no. No, I'll just have one woman. I'll just have one man. Oh, how boring. Call it what you will. I'll keep my innocence. It's a choice. And my friends, you got the power. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. It seems really innocent to just try things once. But what's your motive in that? Is your motive to be pure? Is your motive to stay pure before God? Is your motive to be holy? You say, well, Pastor, we don't earn our way into heaven. No, we don't. You're right. But we have the opportunity to keep ourselves separate from things in the world that would be destructive to us. What about innocence? Webster says that innocence is four things. First of all, is blameless. Freedom from guilt or sin through being unacquainted with evil. It seems so simple, and yet it's sometimes so difficult. Freedom from guilt or sin through being unacquainted with evil. Blameless. Chastity. Innocence is chastity, freedom from legal guilt of a particular crime or offense. You know, I go through my days, maybe some of you can identify with this, I go through my days and it never ever comes to my mind wondering what the penalty is for burglary. Can you imagine that? Why, I went through this entire week and I never said to myself, I wonder what the penalty is for burglary. I never tried to figure out what the penalty was for murder. You know why? Because I have already positioned in my mind then I'm not going to break my innocence there. I'm not going to cross that line. Why? Because I don't want to find out what the penalty is. Because in these things, it will take from me. Young folks, be sure that when you're making the choices, when you are deciding what you're going to do and when you're going to break your innocence and when you're going to experiment and try something just once, just stop for a second. Stop for a second and say to yourself, what is this going to cost me? Too often, you will not be able to answer that question because you don't know what's going to lay on the other side of it. When you're with a group of friends and your friends say, hey, let's go do some damage to somebody's house. You're all hepped up in the moment. You say, well, I don't want to stand out. Stand out. Be powerful. Be the one that stands up and goes, nope, not going to do it. We won't get caught. Doesn't matter. I don't want to find out if we will. You see, I can retain because I have the power. You can retain because you have the power of innocence. Hey, something I meant to do at the very beginning of this, I need to do right now. Would all of you think about something in this world that you've never tried? Think about something in this world that you have never tried. How many are there? You've found something already. Okay, that's what this is about. This isn't about where you have failed. About 20 years ago, I preached to about 350 college students, and I preached to them about their innocence. Wasn't the same message, but it was a message about their innocence. And they're folded up in the aisles. It was because they were broken over the choices that they had already made. And there's time for us to reminisce, and there's times for us to think about those things, and there's time for us to bring those things to the altar. And I'm not taking away from that in any way, shape, or form. But what we're talking about here today is the life that you and I have before we make the choice, before we accept the sin in our lives. And every single one of us, or almost everybody in this room, lifted their hand and said, I know of something that I haven't yet tried in this world. Well, hear me this morning. You have the power. You have the power to say, no, I'm not going to try it. He said, well, you know, it may not be harmful. So? You and I should have a list, a nice, healthy list of things that we have chosen in this world to not embark in, you know, bring into our lives. You say, why would we want to do that? Well, because the world is awful proud of all the things that they've done. By the way, this is not sinlessness. I'm not talking to you today about being able to be sin. John chapter 2, verse 1, 1 John. My dear friends, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. We have an advocate when we have sinned. Praise the Lord. But we have power that he has invested in us to not sin. To begin with, the power of innocence is challenged at the point of temptation. How many like a good temptation? No? James chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God tempted me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one, hear this, is tempted when by his own desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's the reason why Jesus said in that prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, when I pray that prayer every single day, I always say, and the evil one. Because I have identified the one who is after my destruction. I've identified the one who is wanting to hurt me and steal my life. With great sorrow, I have to stand and admit to you that sometimes I do not listen, I do not yield to what I even know. I will fall victim to his temptation. But it's not because I'm powerless, because in fact, the Lord will not allow me to be tempted beyond what he has already empowered me to stand against. That's in your Bible, by the way. The power to sin or not sin is in us. Is sin powerful? Yes. Can I get an amen on that one? We're drawn to sin. We're weak in our flesh. Sin is powerful. It's alluring. But we can say no to sin. David prayed in Psalm 19:13, keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. The innocence of our childhood can be carried through to our death. Do you know that? Or you say, how is it possible? Not in every area. Because living this life, we're going to be exposed to things and we're going to yield to things. But you know, it is to God's glory, and it speaks to our power to be able to say, I've never tried that. I've never done that. I've never experienced that. Young folks, it's not a weakness. Your friends in this world would tell you that you're missing out on something, that it's a weakness for you to not experiment with everything that they are experimenting with. You ever hear the statement, misery loves company? Many drug dealers do not use themselves. They simply live off of the destroyed lives of those that they sell to. I mean, they don't even experiment with it. They don't even try it because they know exactly what will happen on the first time that you try it. Take pride in being unexperienced. Romans 16:19 says, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you. But what I want you to be about is good and innocent about what is evil. Huh? I don't know. I've never seen that. I don't know. I've never tasted that. I have no idea because I've never gone there. Those aren't bad things. Those are good things that as you grow older, you will value in your life, that you can look back and say, I did not have to walk through the garbage dump to get to where I wanted to go. I didn't have to eat and take everything into my body that the world said was available in order for me to live a happy and fulfilled life. I can be blameless. Why aren't the people of God equally proud of our innocence as the world is so proud of their experimentation? You ever hear anybody say, well, I'll do anything once? Come on, let me see. How many of you have heard somebody say that? I'll try anything once. That's one mentality. You know what that person is basically saying? I just give up on choice. If it's presented to me, I'll take it. Yes, I've got the power to say no, but no is just not in my vocabulary. I'm just going to say yes to whatever you send in my way. Man, they're ready and ripe for somebody to take advantage of them. And the enemy of our soul, who is a thief, wants to kill, steal, and destroy, he's just ready. We don't have to go that route. You're powerful, made by God, with the power to retain your innocence. And church, we need to start talking about it more. I believe we need to start talking about it to our young kids. I mean, to have a sit down with them and say, listen, you do realize that the world is going to be pulling on you to try this, to try this, to try this, to try this. Now, see, here's the situation, though. You may go through a list yourself. Now, honey, you don't need to do drugs. But what you can do is you can get you one of those E things so that you can be like all your friends. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want you to be, you know, be pointed out by the other kids. So, you know, you can take, let me get you one so that you feel like you can fit in. Huh? So, Pastor, that never happens. Hey, listen, it's happening all the time. And it's happening with the people of God. We need to realize the power of innocence, the joy of innocence. What we have, what you've got going. It's cool. I don't have to try all this stuff of this world. You say, but oh, you might find it. I don't have to. Not necessary. And the power is within me to say no. The power is in you. The power is in your children. Well, let me ask you this. Do your kids ever hear you say that? Do your kids ever say, oh no, we're not going to go there? You know, I grew up going to the theater on Friday night. We didn't go on Saturday night because that kept you out too late. We had to be ready for Sunday morning. But on Friday nights, we would go to the drive-in theater, and my mom would make sandwiches and take drinks, and we would go to the theater, and you know, it was usually a double feature, and so when we were really little, we'd be awake for the first one and then go to sleep. I know that they loved that because then they had time to be together. That was in the days of bench seats in cars, you know, and she could scoot over next to him. I remember waking up, mom sitting over next to dad. It was really cool. But, you know, I can also remember all of a sudden the car starting right in the middle of a movie. Here we go. Where are we going? Where are we going? We're not going to sit here and listen to that. We're not going to stand here. We're not going to sit here and watch that. Car starts and we're on our way. And I can remember as a kid going, what'd they say? What'd I miss? Huh? Hey, listen, I'm a product of the fall just like everybody else. It's like, you know, the drawing. What did I miss? Somebody started undressing. Our car started. Dad got us out of there before they ever, you know, got past the third button. My dad's gone 14 years now, but I thank him for that. Because see what he was doing in that, what he was doing in starting that car after they had paid the entrance price. It didn't matter if it was 10 minutes into the movie. If something came into that car through that windshield that He did not want in his kids' minds and in their lives. He started that car. It didn't matter about the cost because he was protecting my innocence. And I thank God for that. He didn't say, oh, well, they're going to hear those words in the world anyway. But he was protecting my innocence, which allowed me. You know, I was never exposed to pornography at all because of the protection of my parents until I went into the Navy. I kind of knew that it existed, but it existed outside the realm of my life. And I praise God for that. And I thank my mom and dad for that. Because if something were sitting in the living room and a television show came on, and if it was the least bit risque in any way, shape, or form, the TV went off. Or the channel was turned. What? What? Choice. Innocence. So by the time I was 20 years old and I was exposed to it, I was mentally more able to handle what I was seeing than what I would have been at 8 or 9 or 10 years old. Hey, folks, please understand, as your pastor, I'm not talking to the people outside the walls right now. I'm talking to the people inside the walls. What are you doing in your life that is breaking the innocence of your children? You say, well, I can handle this. Okay. You can handle it. Your innocence has already been broken. But what about theirs? Become jealous and zealous over the innocence of your children, moms and dads. I have to be done. But I want to give you the benefits very quickly. Can I do that? I got 6 minutes for 12, and then you will have only been here for an hour and 15 minutes, and you can get on about the day. The benefits of retaining our power of innocence. First of all, access. Unfettered access. Psalm 24, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and an innocent heart. Yes, in Christ Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin. And His righteousness is imparted to us as a gift from God. However, experimentation with the world tears at our freedom in the Lord. Also, the Holy Spirit is active in our lives and in our consciences and in our choices. And He is saying, you don't need that. And when we go ahead and we break our innocence and we take of that thing, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. And that's a dangerous place to be. Again, I say access, unfettered, unencumbered access comes with innocence. The second thing is obedience. 1 Peter 1:22 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply for the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Notice what he's talking about, your new birth in Christ and how it affects the choices that you made. You have been purified, or you have purified yourself. Your choices. Are your choices pure this morning? The benefits of retaining the power of innocence. Separation. Separation from this world. Jesus said it. He said, you can't have my kingdom and the kingdom of this world. You got to choose. Although we are in this world, we don't have to be of this world. Just a thought. What differences are there in your life from the lives of those who are chasing the world? We dress like them. We act like them. First John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." You know, from time to time, we lose people from a congregation. Painful as a pastor when people leave us. And particularly painful when people leave us because they have made a choice, because the Word of God stands and their choices differ from the Word of God. It's very painful to hear people say, "We don't believe what you believe," when what we believe is clear in God's Word. You could stab me, I don't think it would hurt anymore. Because I realize that that person is headed in such a dangerous place. If I set my theology, if I set my life according to what the world is doing, oh my goodness, where will we end up? We will end up where the world ends up. There's a call. The call of the Spirit of the Lord to listen to the Word of God and to not just be hearers, but to be doers of the Word. And that's going to mean you've got to use that power to say, "No, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to see that. My innocence." Access, obedience, separation, and position. 2 Peter 3:14 says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," that is the new heaven and new earth, "make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." Is spotlessness and blamelessness on your list of priorities for your life? Well, listen to this one. Ephesians 5:25, "Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." I take you back to the beginning where I told you what innocence was. Blameless, freedom from guilt or sin through being unacquainted with evil. Innocence. And finally this morning, there's blessing in our innocence. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Listen to this. "He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so with the wicked. They're like chaff that blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Hallelujah. Oh, church, wouldn't it be grand that we would begin to glory and shout and praise the Lord for the innocence still in our lives? He said, oh my goodness, Pastor, I've been such a journey. I have breached my innocence. As we lifted our hands earlier, there are still a few things that you haven't tried. He said, yeah, but those things I don't think are all that harmful. Yeah, but you know what? Still choose some things and say, you know what? Just so that I can exercise the power of my innocence, I'm not going to ever taste that. I'm not ever going to do that. Just so that I can retain the power of innocence in some area of my life. And you know what? God will be glorified. Because you have recognized it's only because of Him that you have that power, and only through Him that you're able to keep it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's really neat. Young people, it's really neat to be able to stand before a doctor when you get older, and he's listening to your heart, and he's listening to your lungs, and he starts asking you questions. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? And you can go, no. Never tasted it. Never done it. And it lets him just move right on. You know, he just moves right on. If you say, yes, I broke my innocence in this area, then he settles in there. Because those choices leave a residue. When we break our innocence, it leaves a residue in our lives. Oh, see, what's the end of this? Protect your innocence. Rejoice in your innocence. If you still have children in your home, still under your influence, talk it up. Talk it up. The power that they have in their lives. The power to say no to experimenting with all the junk of the world. You are powerful.